People don't go to hell for sin. Jesus already paid for that. They go to hell for unbelief.
Let the prophetic be unlocked. Let it be unlocked. Let it be unlocked. The
return of the Lord Jesus Christ is not our lack of faith. It's our lack of giving.
I break every generational curse.
I live in the biggest house in the state of Louisiana. I don't mean that arrogantly or pridefully. According to my tax attorneys, I have the biggest house of any preacher in America. I'm saying that on television. You don't think they're gonna nail me? I don't care.
False teachers robe themselves in the garments of God.
The word of the Lord came to me. So I jumped up, ran, got my notepad, and wrote it down. This disease called CODV-19 will be over much sooner than you think.
They want people to believe that they represent God, that they know God, that they have insights into spirituality and divine truth and divine wisdom.
No, you have to receive the release. It's not going to happen if you're talking yourself out of it, filled with doubt. Victory starts in our mind. Father, I believe it's my time for release.
Even though they are the emissaries of hell itself.
We are closer to the coming of the lion than we are the coming of the lamb.
My name is Ed Dingus, and you are listening to The Reformed Rant. The Reformed Rant is a podcast that focuses on helping Christians think biblically and act faithfully concerning the issues of our culture. Now, my goal is to kind of help you as much as possible to test the spirits that are actively moving in the culture and the churches to make sure they are of God. Now, since modern culture has lost its mind over the last 5 to 10 years, and the church seems to be doing the same as the pagan culture goes, so goes the churches for some reason. Today's episode will focus on a question that most modern Christians should, but cannot answer. They should be able to answer this question. But most modern Christians cannot answer this question. They get it wrong. And what is that question? What is Christianity?
If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
Of religious nuns say that their morality is grounded in their religious beliefs. The rest attach their morality to logic and reason. 12%. That leaves 88% that do not attach their morality to their religious beliefs. 57% of Christians, 36% of evangelicals, say that casual sex among adults is acceptable. 19% of Christians say it's okay to have sex on the first date. It's okay to have sex on the first date. Christians say this.
When I was 19, I finally asked myself if I was gay, and the answer was terrifying. The only other people who'd grown up at my evangelical church in Kansas who'd come out had left. It was like they'd been erased from the community. In my church, as in so many others, being gay and Christian wasn't an option. But I couldn't give up on my faith. I didn't want to lose my family or church either. So I left school to study the central question so many gay Christians face. How could I reconcile my sexual orientation with what the Bible says about same-sex relations? This book answers that question. It's the culmination of 4 years of research, synthesizing for a popular audience the key insights of biblical scholars about the 6 references in Scripture to same-sex behavior. It's also a personal story, describing how my study of those passages changed my dad's mind about same-sex relationships. And more than that, it's a blueprint for how other Christians can come to affirm same-sex marriage while also affirming their commitment to the full authority of the Bible.
In case you're wondering who that was a clip from Matthew Vines on God and the gay Christian. How did the church, we'll say the SBC, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, at one of their annual conferences, actually sat down with gay people who espouse this type of thinking and had a conversation with them as, I'm not going to say as believers, had a conversation with them. And of course, those promoting gay Christianity saw this as a tremendous win. When the only thing the church should be doing to people who hold views like this is calling them to repentance and faith in Christ, not having conversations that give the appearance that we are either soft on the issue of homosexuality or maybe outright approving it.
Jesus helped his friend come out. In John chapter 11, verse 43, this is what it says. Jesus called out in a loud voice saying, "Lazarus, come out." You see, Lazarus was locked up in a cold, dark tomb, wrapped in burial cloths, left for dead. That's exactly what so many Christians and so many churches do to LGBT people. They wrap us up and bind us up and tell us that we need to keep our identity, our true self, locked away. But Jesus, upon seeing Lazarus in this state, he says, "Lazarus, come out. Step into the light. Take off the cloth. Be who you are. Come alive." I believe that this is what Jesus is speaking to every LGBT person. Come out of the tomb of shame. Take off the chains that have bound you up. Step into the glory of who God made you to be, fearfully and wonderfully made, just as you are.
If you think that last clip was bad, wait until you hear this.
All people are already connected to God. Nobody can be separated from God, because to be separated from God is to be separated from life and reality itself.
But wait, it gets worse.
The same Spirit that gives life to all people is the same Spirit revealed in Jesus Christ, and is the same Spirit that was at work through Siddhartha Gautama the Buddha, and is the same Spirit that inspired Prophet Muhammad.
And lastly, before we get to our main clip, he calls Jesus something truly unbelievable and blasphemous.
Did you know that there's a part of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus uses a racial slur? Jesus repents of his racism and extends healing to this woman's daughter.
Jesus didn't repent of anything because he was without sin. The Bible makes that clear. Watch now what happens as he continues with his lies.
Maybe the future of the church and of our world is truly in the hands of what Martin Luther King Jr. called the creatively maladjusted. Maybe minorities, sexual and gender minorities, have something to teach the church about dying to self, about new life, about... That is not a sign of God's judgment, okay?
Have you lost your mind?
Now, that was Brandon Robertson, who is obviously a gay man, and who is also, at the same time, a supposed pastor of a church, preaching a sermon. And in the middle of that sermon, as he's pontificating about the virtues of being LGBTQ, there is a crash of lightning, and you hear the thunder, and the lights go out in his church. And of course, he says, this is not a sign of the judgment
of God or anything like that. At any rate, the blasphemy that comes out of this man's mouth is terrifying. And the reason this is happening in modern American society is because people do not understand what Christianity is. The postmodern mindset, which is bad enough in its own right, has taken advantage of the lack of training and education and discipleship going on in the churches, and it has infected all these false churches and all these false converts, and now even in evangelical churches who have followed, let's just say from a distance, the same kind of patterns in not focusing on discipleship, not focusing on equipping people with the word and making sure that people are being transformed into the image of Christ. See, the only way that you as a believer become transformed into the image of Christ, which is the believer's goal from the minute we are regenerated, it begins a journey in us to be transformed into the image of God. That transformation can only take place as the Word of God shapes the mind. So if you ignore the Word of God, there will be no transformation into the image of Christ. There cannot be a transformation into the image of Christ. It really is that simple. And so as a ploy, Satan does everything he can to belittle, distort, corrupt the Word of God, the teachings of the church, the doctrines of the church that are designed to do something in you. The Word of God is designed to do a work in you of transformation. And if you are avoiding the Word of God, the transformation, that work is not taking place. And we can see the results of that in the culture today. Just look around. And that's the purpose of this podcast today, this episode. What is Christianity? Now, the way that we're going to answer that question, I want to walk through some results of a survey that was conducted by Ligonier Ministries, I think in 2022. It's fascinating, the results of the survey. You should hear the results of the survey. We're going to walk through those different areas that are very basic and fundamental to Christianity and look at the responses, the results that people gave to the questions that were being asked. And then we're going to demonstrate that from that, the reason you're hearing clips like you're hearing and teachers say the things they're saying and seeing the confusion take place is because people do not understand what Christianity is. And when you survey these people, this survey will give us the kinds of answers to basic Christian doctrine that it does, right? And so I want to walk through that. And then before I finish, I want to walk through, well, you know, what is Christianity? What is it? The Christian religion. If you were to give an elevator pitch, a 1-minute elevator pitch on what Christianity is, what would you say? Right. Hopefully, we can help you think more concisely about that so that you can articulate what Christianity actually is. And more importantly, so that you can do your part as a believer to stand firm on what thus saith the Lord is. Because in order to answer the question, what is Christianity, we must turn to Scripture. Our authority, our knowledge regarding what Christianity is, must be informed by and grounded in Scripture. Now, I'm going to play another clip from John MacArthur, who has been my favorite pastor, preacher for years now. So let's hear what he has to say about what he calls the most hated doctrine. And this doctrine is hated, especially by pagan unbelievers, but it is also hated and despised in many evangelical churches, much to what should be your shock. So let's listen to Johnny Mac and cue him up.
Interestingly enough, the survey indicated that evangelicals have absolutely no idea what they believe, many of them. In stark contrast to Puritans and other responsible believers. For example, some of the questions were as follows. Everyone is born innocent, agree or disagree. 65% of evangelicals agreed. Everyone is born innocent. A second question. The Bible is not literally true, agree or disagree. 55% of evangelicals agreed. The Bible is not literally true. Another one. God accepts worship from all religions. 56% of evangelicals agreed. And maybe the most telling, Jesus was a good teacher, but not God. 43% of evangelicals agreed.
Now, did you catch that? Jesus was a good teacher, but not God. 43% of evangelicals agree. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not Christianity. I don't know exactly what religion that is. I don't know if you look at the world religions, I don't know where you would stick that. This idea that we can continue to just change religions, change the very basics and fundamentals of religions, what makes a religion distinct from other religions. The fact that we think we can just change that and it still remain that intact religion prior to our meddling, tinkering, modifying, editing, revising, whatever word you want to use to describe it, it has to stop. And the churches have to be willing to say, you're not one of us, so we're not going to treat you like you're one of us. We're not going to hate you. We're not going to stone you, but we're not going to accept your claim to faith as genuine. You are not in our community. And as such, we will treat you as a pagan unbeliever. This is what Matthew 18 is all about. It's what Jesus was getting at when he says, if you see a brother sin, go to him. If he doesn't listen, take one or two witnesses. If he doesn't listen, tell it to the church. If he doesn't listen, treat him as a pagan unbeliever, a tax collector, and a Gentile. Right? That's the principle here. That's the principle. And that principle of church discipline, the practice of church discipline, comes directly from our Lord himself, and no one on earth is permitted to change the process that has been prescribed by our Lord, because he is the authority, you see. But we have people ignoring, they do everything from ignore church discipline to actually receive people like this into the community in the name of love. That is not Christianity. And the second piece to this is that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All religions. And MacArthur said 56%. I think I'm looking at the survey on Ligonier's site, statement 3 from 2022, and the numbers are actually 58% of evangelicals agreed that God
accepts worship. He accepts the worship of all religions, which completely and totally destroys anything that remotely resembles biblical Christianity. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through or by me." Not any other religion except for the Christian religion, the founder of which, the center of which, the king of which, the sovereign of which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the only way to the Father. In order to be a Christian, you must affirm this. If you reject this idea, it means that the faith that you claim to have in Jesus Christ is a false faith. It's not saving faith. It's not genuine trust as gifted to you by the Holy Spirit in the work of regeneration, right? It's you, you mentally, mentally assenting to certain things that are taught by Christianity and rejecting a whole bunch of things that are taught by Christianity because you have made yourself the standard. But this is not Christianity. Plain and simple. And we need to get back to these kinds of basics and ensure we know who we're worshiping with. That's the key thing.
And the evangelical church has been so busy over the last 30 years trying to find ways not to offend non-Christians.
This is something that I've talked about for a very long time. This is also not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity understands that the world hated Jesus. Biblical Christianity understands that if we are slaves of our master Jesus, if we are his servants, if we are his followers, if we are his disciples, we understand that we are not above our Lord. And that if the world hated him, it's going to hate us. And the reason for that is because we are following, mimicking, copying him. We are thinking like him. We are living like him. We are speaking like him. We have his values. We preach his word, his gospel. We hold to his standard. That's biblical Christianity. You cannot come into the church and claim that you hold to the standards of Christ and then turn around when you run into a standard of Christ and decide that you're going to reject that one. And all of a sudden, Scripture becomes open to all kinds of different interpretations. And well, you interpret that particular Scripture differently that reveals that standard of Jesus. And so you're going to toss it out. And the reason you're going to toss it out is because it is offensive to your own intellect. It is offensive to something else that you want to accomplish, whether that something else is being approved in a God-hating pagan culture, being approved by your family, being approved by your colleagues at work. So you're going to abandon this particular hard teaching of Jesus. And even though Scripture's clear on this teaching, such as human sexuality, you're going to abandon the biblical principles in preference for pagan values of modern society. That is not biblical Christianity. I don't know what it is, but it's not biblical Christianity. It's some kind of made-up, man-made religion that slaps the label Jesus on it or slaps the label Christianity on it. But just because you throw the label Christian on it doesn't make it Christian.
Why all the hate? And Jesus answered that in John 7, verse 7, "The world hates me because I bear witness to it that its deeds are evil." that its deeds are evil. There is the most hated Christian doctrine. It is the doctrine that theologians have called the doctrine of depravity, the doctrine of total depravity, if you will, the doctrine that declares that the whole human race is sinful.
Yeah, MacArthur could not be more right on this front. There's a couple of things going on that you should be aware of. One, Pelagianism is on the rise. You'll see it in Provisionism, Leighton Flowers fan club. And I noticed a couple of days ago that there are increasing attacks, once again, attempting to refute Lordship salvation. So essentially, these are people who want to wear the label of Christ, but just as Matthew chapter 7 tells us, they want to run around wearing the name of Christ, thinking that they're doing good works or good deeds in the name of Christ. But at the end of the day, they do not want to hear his word. And, you know, I know the question might come up from some people, well, you know, how much of his word do you have to hear? Well, that's like asking me, how much of Jesus's teachings can you reject and still love Jesus? Did you catch that? Let me say it again. That's like asking, how much of Jesus's teachings, which values, which teachings can I reject that are coming from Christ and still be considered a Christian? And the answer is none, not one. If Jesus taught it, if Jesus commanded it, if Jesus prohibited it, you are obligated to submit to everything Jesus taught. You must affirm it. You must submit to his commandments and do them. You must submit to his prohibitions and refrain from those things which he says to refrain from. And if you refuse to do any of those things, then your church is, if your church loves you, is responsible to God and to you, actually, to confront you for that behavior. And if you demand to persist in that behavior, well, then your church is obligated to call you out publicly and remove you, to identify you as someone whose faith cannot be trusted to be genuine. You cannot be viewed as a true, viable, legitimate, authentic, genuine member in the church. You must be acknowledged as an unbeliever. That is biblical Christianity. And no one on the planet has the right to ignore those standards, because they are God's standards, and God is the final authority. And he has told us, he has revealed his standards to us in the text of Scripture, which is why the Scripture is our final authority. It is how God speaks to us. All right, let's move to the next statement in Ligonier's survey. This is a doozy. God learns and adapts to different circumstances. God learns and adapts to different circumstances. Really? Let's see, what do we have? 31% of evangelicals strongly agree, 16% somewhat agree, 11% are not sure. So when you add those up, 58% of evangelicals either agree with it or aren't sure. 47% agree. 47% of evangelicals agree that God learns and adapts to different circumstances. circumstances. Which means they deny the scripture's teaching that God is all-knowing. The gospel writers said that Jesus knew the hearts of men. He knew what was in their hearts. There isn't anything hid from God. God knows all. There are no limitations to his knowledge. None whatsoever. But according to this survey, evangelicals think that God is limited in his knowledge. And so the response to that is that idea, God learns and adapts. That is not biblical Christianity. It is not historic Orthodox Christianity. It is something else. It is something else. All right, let's move on to the next, let's see, question. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. 61% of evangelicals agree with that statement. Now, I don't know if people just don't know how to listen to a question. I don't know if their thinking is so shallow that they would reverse that if you stopped and explained to them what they just said yes to, and you just took a minute and say, do you realize that this means you reject the divinity of Christ? You reject the idea that Jesus, that the Son is eternal, and so on and so forth. If those answers might look a little differently, I don't know. But to John MacArthur's point earlier, an unacceptable number of people reject the teaching that Jesus is God, right? And why should this come at any surprise to us when evangelicals are platforming and being soft with men like Andy Stanley? And this is part of the problem. I've talked about this before. You cannot go soft on heresy. If you look into the scriptures, look at how the prophets treated false prophets. Look at the law. Look at the punishment in the law for false prophets. It was a capital offense. The punishment was death. Look at how the prophets treated false prophets. Look at what Elijah did to the prophets of Baal. You come into the New Testament. Look at how Jesus scorched the religious false teachers of his day. Scorched them. Look at the warnings that we receive from the Apostle Paul and Peter and John. You look into Acts 20, and the Apostle Paul calls the Ephesian elders out to himself and warns them, from among your own selves, pernicious wolves, ravenous wolves are going to emerge, seeking to draw men away after themselves. He calls them ravenous wolves. Peter referred to them as vomit-eating dogs and swine wallowing in their own feces. Right? False teachers. What do? We in the name of love and being gentle, and the same apostles who wrote about love and gentleness treated false prophets and false teachers the way that I'm talking about right now. Vomit-eating dogs. Ravenous wolves. Hypocrites. Brood of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The same men who wrote about gentleness and love warned about these false prophets, these false teachers. Now they're all over Christianity, and they're attempting to redefine Christianity. You see it in these people who are talking about deconstructing, and they give you these sob stories about how they were hurt in the church. And in some cases, that's true. In some cases, people were hurt in the church, but a true believer who has their wits about them, a true believer who's really allowing the Word of God to inform them, and all true believers do that. They are informed by Scripture. They allow Scripture to inform them. They understand that human beings are sinners, even those human beings who claim to be Christians. And they recognize that there are many, many, many human beings who claim to be Christians who are not Christians. And these people can be nasty and hurtful and abusive. So what I'm saying is, a true believer will not allow an incident of nastiness or abuse or anything else, hurt of any kind, will not allow that incident to send them off into apostasy or to deconstruct their faith, because they're true believers. They are kept by the power of God. An abusive pastor, sexually, physically, emotionally, mentally, or otherwise, does not have what it takes to separate true believers from the love of God which is in Christ. So when you see these people deconstructing, know that they are not true believers. They're false converts, believing the kind of nonsense that we're talking about in these surveys. In other words, they are outside of Christianity, even though they're inside the visible church. They have decided in and of themselves which teachings of Jesus Christ they're going to follow, which teachings of the Bible is actually the Word of God, and for themselves, they've decided which teachings they're going to reject. They've decided for themselves which parts of the Word of God that they're going to reject. Because the thing that they're after more than anything else is affirmation in their own autonomy. That's what they want, because they're unbelievers, right? We have to do a better job in the church of recognizing this and dealing with it. We cannot continue to shrug our shoulders and just give it a wink and a nod and let it pass. We have to work for the purity of the body. And that means confronting and rebuking sin. And sin, all kinds of sin, which means not just moral failures, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, getting into things that you shouldn't be doing, not just those types of sins, but cognitive sin, affirming some supposed claim that you know contradicts what the Bible teaches about God or about man or about sin or about creation. That's a sin, to embrace, to cognitively adopt beliefs that contradict the clear teachings of the Bible is just as much a sin as adultery, because you're calling God a liar. That's blasphemy, you see. Our problem is we do not take that seriously any longer. We have softened everything. We abuse God's grace up one side and down the next. We are not mortifying the deeds of the flesh. And that is not biblical Christianity. All right, let's see what else we have in this survey. Yeah, MacArthur already talked about this. Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. And this has, 44%. Of evangelicals believe this. That's not terribly far behind the world. 53% of all respondents answered that way. God created male and female. Yeah, no issues there. The Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. Big issue here. What do we have? 34 plus 21, 55% of evangelicals agree that the Holy Spirit is a force, but he is not a personal being. Not a personal being. That is staggering. This just indicates that in the churches, there's very little teaching on the triune God of Scripture. Very little teaching on the Holy Spirit. We call it pneumatology. It's non-existent. Why is that, you think? Well, it's because pastors are building their kingdoms. That's why it is. Pastors are building their kingdoms, and they're focused on what grows the kingdom. And today, what grows the kingdom is a bunch of false converts who want to be affirmed and entertained. They want to be affirmed and entertained. That's how you grow the kingdom. Entertain them. And if that was not bad enough, listen to this. Now, the numbers are very small here, but they're still troubling. The Holy Spirit can tell me to do something which is forbidden in the Bible. 18%, one in five approximately, evangelicals agree with this statement. Wow. The Holy Spirit will tell you to contradict what he's already said in the Bible. I guess he's schizophrenic. At a minimum, he's irrational. Everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. 55% of evangelicals agree with this. This is Pelagianism. This is outright Pelagianism. And it explains why, when someone like Leighton Flowers comes along with his views on provisionism and tries to position them as not Pelagianism, why it resonates with people, because this is what they want to believe. They want to believe that they're a good person. By nature, I'm a good person. Everybody thinks they're a good person. And if they know that they're not a good person, they will immediately resort to saying, well, you know, I might not be a very good person, but there's a lot of people who are a lot worse than me. So they're still looking for some sort of, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. But the Bible says, Christianity teaches, there is none good, not even one. This is biblical Christianity. Now, demons in the flesh and provisionists, Pelagians, just absolute, outrageous, false teachers will take entire sections of Scripture, like Romans 3, and they will corrupt and pervert it to no end because it gets in the way of their system, of what they want to be true about God, about reality, about man, about Christ, about sin, about the world. And so when they have these ideas in their mind on how they want things to be, because you have to remember, it is the affirmation of autonomy. It's all about me. And I have the right to set my own standards and believe my own things and have my own interpretations of reality. That's carried over into the churches because we've imported false converts into the churches. So when they run into scriptures like Romans chapter 3 that says there are none good, they will engage in exegetical gyrations to no end in order to make that scripture say what they need it to say so that it does not contradict their view, their belief. Even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. 53% of evangelicals disagreed with this. This is man's view of sin. So we've seen that their view of that the evangelical view of God is incredibly disturbing. The evangelical view of the Holy Spirit is incredibly disturbing. The evangelical view of man is incredibly disturbing. Not Christian, not Christian, not Christian. And now the evangelical view on sin turns out to be not Christian. 53% of evangelicals do not believe that small sin should send you to eternal damnation. And we have an emergence of a denial of eternal conscious punishment being piped into the churches. And I have seen, I have watched on social media, other godly pastors treat pastors who are proposing these ideas as if they're wonderful brothers in Christ with whom we just disagree. And I would say to those pastors, you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem. Do not treat these men like they are fellow brothers in Christ. Reject them. They are false teachers. God counts a person as righteous, not because of one's works, but only because of one's faith in Jesus Christ. 16% of evangelicals disagreed with that. That's interesting. It's not a very high number, but it's higher than it should be, because it should be, if you're evangelical, should be zero. It should be zero. And my guess is it's going to continue to increase. Now, here's a question about that particular. Doesn't move for 18 to 34-year-olds. When you get to 35 to 49-year-olds, it moves up to 20%. So that's interesting. It's good. It's a good thing that this is not trending upward amongst 18 to 34-year-olds. That's another way to slice this data to see what the younger generations are doing compared to older generations. All right. Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. MacArthur already talked about this. The number was staggering. 66% of evangelicals agree. Once again, this is Pelagianism, right? So you've got a denial of being born with a sin nature, and now you have the denial of being born guilty, right? Both of those two things make up the doctrine of original sin, and it's being denied by the overwhelming majority of evangelicals, 66%. Only 30% of evangelicals agree with this statement. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. 26% of evangelicals agreed with that statement. The Bible is not literally true. This opens the door to all kinds of heresy, specifically as you get to Genesis 1 through 11, which is the foundation of everything. It's the foundation of everything, to include what we know about Christianity. It tells us who God is from the very beginning. We see who God is, that he creates something from nothing. We get a glimpse into his power, his wisdom, his intelligence, that it's unlimited. We see how holy he is with how he treats sin. We see what man is. We see how God created man. We see sin. We see what sin is. We see the Holy Spirit at work. We see the promise of the coming Messiah. We see everything in Genesis 1 through 11. And if you get that wrong, I promise you, if you get that wrong, you're going to veer off in other areas as well. It's really interesting to see that phenomenon, but it plays out. It plays out in the real world. People who hold to a young earth and a literal interpretation of Genesis 1 through 11 as actual historic narrative when it comes to some of these other issues, they're very, very solid. But if they don't hold to a literal creation account of Genesis 1 through 11, they start reading in all these different literary genres and trying to make it, let's say, mytho-historical genres or genre, as William Lane Craig does, then you see later they will veer off into some significant error. And it plays out. The final statement here, well, it isn't a final statement, so there's a couple of more. The Bible is 100% accurate in all it teaches. 17% of evangelicals disagree. So there's 17% of evangelicals denying the doctrine of inerrancy. Modern science disproves the Bible. 21% of evangelicals agree. Modern science disproves the Bible. Now think about that. Modern science disproves the Bible. The Bible cannot be trusted. The Bible is not reliable. The Bible has errors in it. Utterly amazing. If that's true, then who is deciding which parts of the Bible are reliable and which parts of the Bible are unreliable? Who's making that decision? I'll wait. You tell me. Who's making that decision? You? Some council somewhere? Yeah. No, the Bible is fully reliable, trustworthy, and inerrant in all it teaches in the original autographs, and we have at our disposal accurate, reliable, trustworthy copies of the original. God chose the people he would save before he created the world. 45% of evangelicals disagree. 45% disagree with that statement. It is clearly taught in Scripture that God chose his people before the foundation of the world. 45% of evangelicals disagree. Hell is a real place where certain people will be punished forever. 12% of evangelicals disagree. That number's going to, the next time this survey is done, that number's going to go up. That's my prediction. That's not a prophecy. Don't stone me. There will be a time when Jesus Christ returns to judge all the people who have lived. Less than 10% of evangelicals disagree with that, which is a good thing. Worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regular church attendance. 56% of evangelicals agree. So now you have an issue with one's ecclesiology. 56% agree. Christians should be silent on the issues of politics. 20% of evangelicals agree. Why? Why would you insist that people be quiet when it comes to politics? Every Christian has an obligation to join a local church. 44% of evangelicals disagree. 44% disagree. You don't have to be a member of a local church. Sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. 19% of evangelicals disagree. 19%. You can have sex outside of marriage. It's not a sin. Abortion is a sin. 19% of evangelicals disagree. Murdering a child. Sex outside of the covenant of marriage. Gender identity is a matter of choice. 35% of evangelicals agree. Talk about being brainwashed by the culture. We're being brainwashed by the culture. Wow. The Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior doesn't apply today. The Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior does not apply today. 1 in 4, 25% of evangelicals agree. 1 in 4. God is unconcerned with my day-to-day decisions. 15% of evangelicals agree. Oh my goodness. The Bible has the authority to tell us what we must do. 16% disagreed. 16% of evangelicals disagreed. Religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. 38% of evangelicals agreed. And then we turn around and say, the Bible says it has authority for what I believe. And only 13% of evangelicals disagreed. But yet, they're going to turn Christianity upside down on its head in all these other areas of sex and homosexuality and gender and the objective truths of Scripture. It is very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. 18% of evangelicals disagreed with that statement. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. We're over 12%, over 10%, the number's 12, percent of evangelicals who actually disagree with that statement. Only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. 13% of evangelicals disagree. And this leads me to question the idea that these same people also said God accepts the worship of all religions. What do they really mean by that? God is a perfect being and cannot make a mistake. Almost 10% of evangelicals disagree with that. All right. I'm going to wrap it up there. But, you know, the question of, you know, what is Christianity? Christianity, the founder of Christianity, who is himself Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to save sinners. Faith and trust in his name, translate into you following the teachings of Jesus Christ, which encompass Genesis to Revelation, not Matthew to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, right? Christians are people of the book. And for the Christian, the knowledge of God, of reality, creation, the knowledge of mankind, what man is, what creation is, who God is, what sin is, what judgment is, what justice is, how should I live my life, what should I believe, and so forth. Christianity demands that the answers to these questions are informed by Scripture alone. Ultimately. Right? Christianity is the religion that adheres to the teachings of the Bible in all that it says. Commandments, prohibitions, truth about all of reality in life. In everything that it teaches, Christianity embraces it as God speaking. That's what Christianity is. It is the religion of the sacred text of Scripture. The sacred scripture of Scripture. That is Christianity. Maybe eventually we'll come back and do an episode on what is a Christian. All right. I hope that this has been helpful. I know I went a little long. You can listen to it in segments or whatever. I hope you do at any rate. But I hope this is a blessing. Hope that it gets you to think. And I hope it's had something helpful and beneficial and at least encouraging that, you know, you're not alone. Stand firm for the truth, and continue to follow the teachings of Christ as laid down in the sacred pages of Scripture. God bless.
Christian, you want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.